If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn together with me to the Gospel of Luke? We have been looking for the last 4 weeks at this whole idea of prayer and really taking from the disciples their desire, their question, their request. Lord, teach us to pray. This morning I want to finish those 4 weeks up and take a look, beginning with verse 5, and we're going to really bite off a big chunk here today. We're going to go all the way through verse 13. So, Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 5 this morning. Let us hear together the word of the Lord. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is the word of the Lord. We are thankful for it. I want to throw something at you this morning, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. It's okay if you disagree. It's just a thought. But I think there is nothing that motivates a person to pray more than receiving answers to prayer. And there may be nothing that depresses a person's spiritual life more than not receiving the answer that we hoped for in prayer. Does that sound valid? There may be nothing that motivates us to pray more than to receive the answer we hoped for. And there may be nothing that depresses our spiritual life more than not to receive the answer we hoped for. You know, as a pastor, there's certain things that you just say a lot. One of them is, pray about it. And I suppose that could be viewed as just kind of a way to move on and get things going and kind of give you something to do. But I really do mean it when I say it. Pray. Trust, believe, ask God. I remember one time I told a guy, he was a fairly new Christian, even though he was well into his 40s at the time. He was talking to me about a situation at his job and how everything was all topsy-turvy and things weren't working out and he didn't know what to do and he didn't know how to respond as a Christian. And I said to him, "Hey, man, pray about it." And he came back to me the next week at church and he had this big smile on his face. And I won't use the exact language that he used. He was a new Christian, after all, and hadn't learned about vocabulary issues. But he said to me, "Hey, Pastor, this prayer stuff, it really works." That's exciting. But by the same token, I sit and I talk with a lot of people who hold God at arm's length in their life. I was sitting in a guy's basement one time. He had repaired a golf club for me. That's one of the things Paul loved to do. And Paul and I were sitting there talking, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Really, you don't get guys together and set them around the table in a circle and say, now everyone share your feelings. That's a great way to have just an hour of silence. If you want guys to really be able to have the opportunity to open up, they kind of need to do something shoulder to shoulder together. They need to be fishing, or they need to be building something, or working on something, or golfing, or whatever the activity may be. And somehow in the midst of that activity, conversation develops. And he was putting together the golf club, and he was getting it all fixed and everything, and he was fiddling with his torch, and he was lighting it, and it was going out, and on and on and on. And he got to talking. And he said, preacher, I want you to stay for lunch. Well, that's a given. I'm happy to do that. And he said, but Francis, is the way he pronounced his wife's name, Francis isn't here, so we're going to have to wait for her to come home to fix us a sandwich. And I'm thinking, you know, we're a couple of competent guys. I think, you know, if you can fix golf clubs and I've survived to this point in life, I bet the two of us can figure out how to fix a sandwich on our own. But he was quite convinced that we needed to wait for Francis to get there to fix us a sandwich. So while we were waiting on Francis, he just started talking. And he was talking about his daughter who had died of cancer. How hard that was and really how disappointed he was in God. He said, preacher, I really don't even pray anymore because God didn't answer my prayer. Nothing motivates us to pray more than answers to prayer. Nothing depresses us more than not receiving answers to prayer. I suppose I could have gotten hyper-technical with Paul and I could have said, hey, Paul! You know, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But what he meant was I didn't get what I wanted, what I hoped for. And I can't quite deal with that. I'm not going to curse God and die because I don't want to burn in hell for all eternity. But I don't have to be happy. And I don't have to pray anymore. I've met a lot of people like that in life. We can talk all we want to about interceding for people and this connection that we have with God in prayer, but where the rubber hits the road for most of us is, will there be answers to prayer? If I ask, will I receive? If I seek, will I find? There's got to be something that's happening here. There's something in this parable that Jesus tells about this guy who needs some loaves of bread. And by the way, I don't know in those days when you baked loaves of bread every day, who's got three loaves left over at midnight anyway? I don't know about you, but I don't like people knocking on my door at midnight. There's something in what Jesus is saying in this parable that speaks to us very profoundly, I think, about our understanding of what this whole idea of God answering prayer means. And for whatever all is going on here, there's something so profound that is here that I think we have to understand. That whether we get what we want or not, whether we finally get the loaves that we're asking for, the healing for our child, or whatever it may be, it is the very heart of God, and we have to understand this. It is the very heart of God. It is the desire of God. It is the deep down want to of God. To interact with us, to respond to us, and to intervene for us. Whether we get what we really want or not, we have to understand that it is the deep desire of God that we would be involved in this prayer because God wants to talk to us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants to interact with us. God wants to come and respond according to His will in our life. God wants to intervene and move heaven and earth to change the wrong situations that are in our life. God longs for that. And whatever all answers we may receive somehow that inform in that and that come to the midst of that, it is God's desire for us to be involved in that kind of dialogue with Him. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean, though. That doesn't mean that we have a pact with God, whereby, if we ask, we get what we want. If we seek, then we're going to find what we want to find. God has deeper purposes than that. This isn't some kind of Santa Claus relationship. This isn't prayer as a Visa card that I never have to pay. This is a loving Heavenly Father. This is the language this whole parable is couched in. This is a loving Heavenly Father that is not going to give to us a scorpion when we ask for an egg or give us a snake, thanks be to God, when we ask for a fish. He knows what is good, and I think that there's a part of me that needs to come to understand that sometimes in my ignorance, my praying is really for scorpions and snakes. And God knows what I really need is eggs and fish. To quote the great 20th century theologian, Garth Brooks, not I've got friends in low places, but sometimes we do need to thank God for unanswered prayer. And if I could just change his language a little bit, I really hesitate to do this with such a genius, but instead of thanking God for unanswered prayer, thanking God for the way he answers our prayer. Because I can't believe what an incredible mess that I would make of the universe if God did everything that I told him to do. I somehow, in the midst of my prayers, in the midst of seeking for him, in the midst of asking for him, there needs to be a deep sense within me of trusting him. Hopefully we have that relationship. Hopefully we can look back in our past and we can think of times where we asked our parents for something and they didn't quite do it the way that we wanted to, but now from hindsight we're kind of looking back and we're happy that they didn't do it that way. And hopefully as parents there are times where our kids deeply desire something, but in our hearts of hearts we know that's not really what they need. And hopefully we've got enough love to be able to say, no. So somehow as we come and as we wrestle with this whole idea of bringing our request, bringing our asking and our seeking before God, we have to come to the point that we understand that it is God's desire to interact with us. It is God's desire to respond to us. It is God's desire to intervene for us according to His will. And that somehow in the midst of our praying, there needs to be this humility that somehow says, not my will, but your will be done. You do what needs to happen in our lives. Because you see, prayer isn't just about us asking and us getting. Prayer is spiritual discipline. God's doing something in the midst of this praying. God is doing something in our lives in the midst of this asking and seeking that is growing us to be more like Christ. Our relationship with God isn't just about getting the stuff and making life easier. Our relationship with God is about the renewing of our mind, the renewing of our spirit, the transformation from who we are into who He created us to be. And one of the neat things that we find about this discipline of prayer is God uses prayer almost as spiritual resistance training. You know the way in which a person that works out, I'm looking, you know, Bijan, help me here, brother. You use weights as resistance in order to build muscle. Am I right here? Okay, all right. I'm only right because you explained that to me one time. Not that I really practiced that a whole lot. But as you begin to do that, there's something that happens that you get stronger. Has anybody ever given that a go, Bill? I know you have. I can tell that you've done that a time or two. I know, Tag, you lift the weights and you work out. You're bench pressing, what, about 480 now? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do math either, so it's okay. No, not Tag. He's a hulking man. So you have the whole thing that's going on here, and there's something that happens. Now, help me, for those of you who lift, is it pleasant? Is it enjoyable? Or is it painful? There comes a point where, I know I asked Bijan one time if he would help me out. He's a trainer. And I said, Bijan, I'm not getting some of the results that I want, and could I meet with you and you could give me some exercises and kind of walk me through something? After about 5 minutes, I couldn't breathe. And the next day, my poor arms wouldn't move. I just kind of walked around like this. Oh yes, it was the thrill of my life. In our prayer, I hate to tell you this, God intentionally says this isn't going to be easy. I'm not going to work it in such a way that you come running to me and you ask and I dole it out for you. I'm going to work it in such a way like a person that goes and knocks on the door at midnight and asks for bread. God's not going to get up and give it to you right away. You're going to have to be persistent. You're going to have to keep at it. And there's something that I'm doing here, and it's not because I just don't want to get off my throne and do something for you. What God is saying is, I want you to understand the discipline that happens in prayer, that I'm doing something in your life. I am strengthening your faith. I am strengthening your life. I'm making you more like Christ as I'm having you come and really have this resistance that is at work in the midst of this prayer. Just because I don't answer right now exactly the way you want it doesn't mean that I don't love you. In fact, it means that I do love you. Enough to bring strength into your life. Enough to let you go through some situations in your life that God has designed so that it will make us more like Christ and to remove us from that would be more harmful than it would be helpful. Now, is there anybody else besides me that's saying, that's hard to swallow? Anybody else besides me who's really willing to say, yeah, I get it, I just don't like it? That's why I think we have to pray, your will, not my will, be done. And we have to trust God with our praying, with the answer to the prayer. It takes a lot of humility to do that. And I'll tell you, there's something that's going on in this text that really, you know, because I've been working on it for a number of weeks, has really thrown me for a tailspin. Do you ever read the Bible and you're just kind of going, what? That's not what I'm expecting the Bible to say. Now part of it is because we happen to know Matthew so well, and then we compare it to Luke, and we're like, whoa, wait a minute, there's a problem here. Because at the end of this parable, Jesus has gone through this whole thing and he says, if you being evil, I don't have any problem with that, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give, and what we expect here, how much more will the Father give good gifts to those who ask him, right? That's what it says in Matthew. No, it's not. What it says here in Luke is, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask you, how much more will the Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Now, anybody else going, what? That's not what I asked for. I asked for you to come and solve my problem. I asked for you to make my marriage better. I asked for you to get the people in my life that are just not smart. I asked you to straighten them out. And what you give me is the Holy Spirit? Give them the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. I ask you for healing and you say my grace will be sufficient. That's not what I asked for. Now, I'm not just being silly. I think we need to understand something here. The ultimate answer to prayer, it's the gift of God. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate answer to prayer in our life. Now, let me see if I can define that a little bit. Now this isn't going to be exhaustive because I don't have time to do exhaustive. Everybody said amen. But I can do a little. We pray, and God says, okay, to those that ask, they will receive. To those that seek, they will find. And what I'm going to give to you, what I'm going to give to you is myself. What I'm going to give to you is the Spirit of God. And think of the kinds of implications of that. I ask that God would take this away in my life, or God would do this, or God would make this happen. And what I get is the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that happens in the midst of the Holy Spirit at work in my life is guidance. Isn't it interesting in Luke chapter 4 that when Jesus was baptized, it says that then He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. I thought God would lead us away from that. And yet God leads Jesus right there. Why is that? Because He had purpose in that, in building His strength and His faith in God. Don't you think He's going to do the same thing in your life too? You begin to read the Scripture and you begin to find all the times, that incredible story in Acts where Paul is attempting to go into Asia, and it says that the Holy Spirit prevented him from going. I don't know how he did that. I don't know if he put up roadblocks or if he stood in front of him and said, no. But however he did it, we know that God said no. And so Paul says, then I started off and was going to head into Asia Minor, and God said no. And then the Spirit of God gave me a vision about a man in Macedonia saying, come over here. We pray that God would do what we want Him to do in our lives. That's not real praying. Real praying is somehow seeking after God and saying, guide me into Your will. Romans chapter 8. There's this beautiful passage there that speaks about that the Spirit interprets the groanings of our heart. Don't you like that? When I don't even know how to pray as I ought to pray, Paul says, the Spirit of God interprets the groanings of our heart and intercedes for us, watch this, according to the will of God. Are you really telling me that what we prefer is for God to listen to me and do things the way that I want Him to do it? Or would we really prefer for the Holy Spirit, who is able to interpret the deep groanings of our heart, to come before the Father, to intercede on our behalf? You talk about something incredible, that imagery that is there. I can't even begin to get this. And can come before the Father and can say, this is where they are. This is what they're saying. This is what their heart is. But I know what Your will is, and I pray that You would do Your will in their life. Is there a better gift than that? You see, because what we want, what we really want down deep, even when we don't know that we want it, is the will of God to come to pass in our lives. And we sometimes don't even know how to pray the will of God. So the Spirit of God is a gift to us that prays for God's will in our life. Let me tell you what else this means. The Holy Spirit in our life is empowerment. It's strength. I pray, God, take the cancer away. And I believe with all my heart God has the power to do that. God can do whatever God wants to do. God, take the sickness away. God, take this problem away. God, deal with this situation in my life. And that may be the empowerment of the way the Spirit of God works, but I guarantee you, if that's not the way in which God answers that prayer, let me tell you how I am guaranteeing it means for the Spirit of God to be the answer to our prayer. It means that His grace will be sufficient for me to walk through what He has given to me. The Scripture is so clear. Nothing will come into your life, nothing that you are not able to bear. You got to say, wait a minute, let me tell you about my life. I can't bear this. If the Word of God is true, then this is true. God will give you grace enough to make it through what He allows to come into your life. You talk about an incredible thing here. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says that I prayed 3 times that God would remove the thorn in the flesh from me, and God said, my grace will be sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Thank you very much. Do you hear what's being said there? There is an empowerment as the Holy Spirit is the answer to our prayer. And there is also a deep sense of encouragement. You know, Romans chapter 8 again says, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are born of God. If I have to sit and make a list, Here's what it's going to add up to as I get out the calculator and I get my life together and I get everything there. I'm going to end up down at the bottom when I tally it all up and hit equals. God doesn't want me. I don't deserve grace. And the Spirit of God comes in. It says, it's not about you. It's about the mercy of God. It's about the depth and the breadth of the love of God. It's about the fact that you have been adopted in Him, that you belong to Him, that you have been born again into His family, and you are co-heirs with Christ. And there is nothing in this earth, neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come. There is nothing in this world that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, there's something about this Holy Spirit being the gift that God gives to us as the answer to our prayer. As I'm looking at this, as I'm just kind of soaking in that, I somehow came to the place that I said, you know, I think the way that I understand this is that the Holy Spirit at work in our life is the ever-present burning bush of God speaking, God's presence, God's power, God's working, God's here. And really? We just want a new car? We want these, and I love the way the Apostle Paul says this. We want these slight afflictions to be taken away. We want our way. That's really what we want. Let me give you a choice. You don't really have one, but we can pretend like you do. If you have the choice of receiving in answer everything you want exactly like you want it from God, get out the checkbook, baby. It's party time. You have that choice on one hand. Or you have the choice of receiving God Himself. His guidance, His will, His empowerment, His strength, His encouragement, everything He is. As the answer to your prayer. Which one are you going to choose? I mean, really, is anybody going to say, give me the checkbook, baby? No. Because God is, in such a deep, profound way, the answer to prayer. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more will the Father give Himself in all His glory to you who ask? Heavenly Father, over the last few weeks, we've just been journeying in this sense of what a gift it is, what a privilege it is to be able to pray. The kind of language that Paul uses of coming boldly before the throne of grace. We could spend the rest of the year just unpacking the power in that statement. Privilege of being in communion with you. The change that occurs as we just sit with you. The incredible privilege that it is that you have given us to participate through intercession in the needs of other people's lives. And yet, God forgive us. We so often get depressed because you didn't snap your fingers and do things exactly the way we said, right when we said to do it. Reorganize, restructure, renew our thinking about what prayer is really all about. It's not about getting stuff. It's about receiving the gift of you. Oh, and there's so much stuff that goes along with that. My friend was right. This prayer stuff really works. But there again, it's not even about that. It's about receiving your love, receiving your mercy, receiving your strength, receiving your guidance. About walking in the midst of this world where things are so dark and confusing, walking hand in your light. That's what we seek, Father. If we could sum up all of our asking, if we could sum up all of our seeking, may we refine our questions. May we reroute our journeys. So that what we ultimately are always praying for is your kingdom come, your will be done in every circumstance and situation of our life. Bring us to a place of humility where I don't need my way, but where I only long for your way. Lord, I don't think this is some kind of interpretive game that we're playing to let you off the hook because you didn't answer in a certain way. I think it is deep truth that you are revealing to us through your word. That when we pray, we receive the gift of you. And who could ask for anything more? We pray all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Would you stand together with me this morning and receive God's blessing upon your heart and life? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen.